It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? In the book of John, John chapter 10, we're going to read from verse 11 through verse 30. John chapter 10, we'll begin reading with verse 11. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'm glad that you've joined us today. Now that you've had a moment to open your Bibles, let's begin to read John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catches them, and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As for the Father, as a father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the sweet word today. Father, I thank you that we can come together and read this precious word. Help us to see it to be the truth and only the truth, that we may live by it, be guided by it, directed completely with our lives by it. Please, Lord, teach us your word. Teach us your way today. Touch the hearts if they're saved, Lord, please, that you grow them closer to you each and every day, that they may walk and serve you in a mighty way. They may love you and bring honor and glory to your name. Father, those that are not saved, that have never come by faith to the Lord Jesus, I ask today that they will come, that they will feel the calling of God, and they will trust in you today. Please, Lord Jesus, please. I just ask that you touch their hearts. Move all of us closer to you today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's such a joy to study the Word of God. We have studied through these verses, I am the Good Shepherd in verse 11, and then we spent quite a bit of time last time we were together concerning the hireling. As we look at the Good Shepherd, we have in different areas of the Scripture, it speaks of him being a good shepherd, a great shepherd, a chief shepherd. And it's wonderful as we look through those verses of Scripture, and we see him to be my good shepherd. And we're going to look today why that there's a difference between a hireling and a good shepherd. We're going to find ourselves down in verse 15, 16, 17, down through that area of the Scripture. But first of all, we're going to look to see what something else that's not such a good shepherd. Let's look at Ezekiel 34. We're going to read 10 verses there today. Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 10. I want you to take your Bibles and look to the book of Ezekiel. You'll find Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. If you've gotten that far, you're too far. Ezekiel chapter 34. Take your Bibles again, find that verse of Scripture, Ezekiel chapter 34, and we're going to read 10 verses. Now listen very carefully to kind of a sad comment here that's made in the Word. We're looking at the Lord Jesus being a good shepherd, a great shepherd, and a chief shepherd. And again, we looked in the 13th verse, verses 12 and 13 of chapter 10 of John. We find there concerning the hireling, one that's just there kind of for the paycheck. And today, we find that very common. They're more concerned about their benefits and their paycheck than they are serving the Lord Jesus, proclaiming the Word of God. That's the pastors of the day. Of course, the Good Shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. They were scattered because there was no shepherd, there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the fields when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search and seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And again, back in the beginning of these verses of Scripture that we read, Ezekiel chapter 34, it tells us very clear, The Son of Man prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy, I say, unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. That's the shepherd's work. That's the shepherd's responsibility, is to feed the flock. I am to take the word of God, the truth, not give out any propaganda. I am to tell the truth. And from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, to the best of my ability, given the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to teach the truth. And I ask the Lord, through His direction and will, as I come and I proclaim it, whether it be from the pulpit or across this radio station, wherever that I have an opportunity to teach or to proclaim the truth, I do it solely by the Word of God. Now please, that you look to the Lord Jesus as your good shepherd, and as a pastor of a church, as a preacher of the church, if you're listening today, I ask that you look into the Word of God and determine, are you a shepherd of the flock? Are you feeding the flock? Or are you stealing them blind and killing them and robbing them as the shepherds of Israel were doing? Please, that you look into your heart and examine your heart. Why are you pastoring a church? Why is your preacher pastoring a church? Is it because they desire with all their heart to get the Word of God out to a lost and dying world? That they want people to hear the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? That they want the folks that are sitting in the pews of their churches, that they desire that person be fed the Word of God, fed the truth, nothing else. All it is today, in so many cases, it's a social hour. They do not come to be taught the Word of God. They are taught foreign doctrine. They are taught things of opposing the Word of God. Please, that you look to the Word of God. And as we study today, listen to what this Word has to say. And maybe that'll touch your heart concerning what kind of shepherd you may be if you're a pastor. Or if you're a member of a church, you can see what kind of shepherd you have, what kind of pastor you have. Do you have one that loves the Lord Jesus? And if he loves the Lord Jesus with all his heart, he will teach you. He'll teach his people. He'll shepherd the flock. Please, that we look to that. It's so exciting as we find now, as we went from the I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, verse 11 tells us, back to John chapter 10, verse 11. And then we go through the section of the hireling, and then it comes to verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. It's so exciting that is not only that he knows us, but we know him. To know the Lord Jesus personally. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, Paul tells us. Please, that we know without a question the Lord Jesus Christ. We have trusted in him. We ask him to save us, and he is faithful to save us. We'll get into the section of that in a few minutes. But it's so exciting to know that as the 14th verse tells us, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and I am known of mine. So yes, he knows us and yes, we know him. And so if you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, you will know it. And you'll know the day you met Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it'll be a wonderful time you have walking with the Lord Jesus. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus paid it all. He continues to proclaim clearly here that he is God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he is God. There is only one God. Now we have the three parts of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All are equal, all are God. Please that you trust in Jesus Christ today. Jesus paid it all, we find again according to the 15th verse here. And verse 16, we get to talking about the other sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The other sheep I believe is speaking of the Gentiles. When he speaks first of being the shepherd, we go through all the areas above here. The parable spake Jesus unto them, and he speaks of the I am the door of the sheep. We had earlier here when we looked at the beginning of the 10th chapter, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and the robber. He came to the nation of Israel exactly the way he said he would come. There was no deception, no changing. He came exactly the way it was prophesied, and so they should have known. They should have been ready to accept him. And it's speaking here of the nation of Israel. But there is another flock. And as it speaks here in verse 16, the other sheep, not other flock, I'm sorry, I need to correct that. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, the fold being the nation of Israel. That's his chosen people. He was born through the line of the nation of Israel, through that family line, and as we look through, we find that this to be the fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. Now, the first fold, if you'll take your pencil and please mark or circle in verse 16, the first fold, the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. This is the nation of Israel. Them also, speaking of the other sheep, I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, or here it should be, instead of one fold, it should be changed just a little bit. It should be flock. instead of fold the second time, it should be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I looked up the definition of fold, and fold is a pen to keep the sheep in. And that's talking about the nation of Israel. Flock is a group of sheep or group of animals of one kind keeping and feeding. That's the difference between fold and flock. And the first fold in the 16th verse, the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, is the nation of Israel, which we are not of the nation of Israel. We're Gentiles. When the nation of Israel was set aside because of their unbelief, then we had an opportunity. The Gentiles had an opportunity, and they went out proclaiming and preaching the gospel clearly to the Gentiles, and no longer would the nation of Israel, yes, individual Israelites can be saved, can come by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Again, whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, that's what you have to do. Believe in thine heart. You can become a child of God. Israelite, Gentile, whatever you may be, you can become a child of God if you'll come, listen to the call of the Holy Spirit, trust in the Holy Spirit as He calls you to Jesus. Come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the other fold. That's the other sheep. I keep saying fold, and I need to correct that. This is the other sheep. We are the other sheep, the Gentiles. We have been called, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Oh, it's a joy that we'll become one in Jesus Christ. Please, that you trust in the Lord Jesus. Yes, He called for many years the nation of Israel. But when He set the nation of Israel aside, He came after the other sheep, you and me, the Gentiles. If you're a Gentile, if you're not a Jew, that's where it's speaking there. And it's going to gather us all together to be one fold or one flock and one shepherd. It's a glorious calling there that we come. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're rich or poor, bond or free. It doesn't matter where you come from. The people of every nation, every tongue will have and does have an opportunity to become a child of God because of the Lord Jesus, because of our good shepherd. The opportunity, I say that very clearly. It's just not because you were born, now you become a child of God. It has to be a personal relationship that you must have with the Lord Jesus. Please that you come. We're going to go on down now to the 17th verse. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It's a beautiful verse of Scripture there. We know according to Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll look that to that verse of Scripture with me, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12. You can hear my pages moving. I hope that you're doing the same. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As we look again at verse 17 and 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Jesus laid it down. No one took it from Him. No man taketh it from me, but I laid it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. It's a joy to know that we have a God that has the power and the strength. You know, from the time we are born, we begin to die. From the time we're born in sin, and sin brings death. So from the time we are born, it seems like we're growing from as a baby and up into our young years of 8, 9, 10 years old, then into our teenage years. And then at a point, you begin to seem like you kind of deteriorate and begin to go the other way. But in truth, the truth is that from the start, we're dying. But you see, the Lord Jesus was different, because He was not born in sin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So you see, he didn't have that sinful nature that you and I have. So he wasn't going to just live so long and die. Because you see, he wasn't born to die. He came to die for us. But not because it was a natural event, something that just took place. He came of his Father's will. He was obedient to his Father's will. And he came to die, yes. But not that someone was going to put him to death. But he, as it says very clear, no man taketh it from me, but I laid it down myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have the same power to take it up. Not because his life was deteriorating just like ours. And the older I get, the less things I can do, or at least wise it takes me longer to do it. Jesus wasn't experiencing that at all, because you see, he did not have the curse. He did not have the sin. He was perfect. He come to save us, and he did that through his death. We know, again, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have an example here, and I want to go back to two scripture verses, Psalms 118:27, Psalms 118, Psalms 118, Psalms 118, verse 27. It says, God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. If you go back to the time of the tabernacle, you'll find that the brazen altar out in the front, the very first piece of furniture that you would see as you entered through the gate into the courtyard of the tabernacle. You're not in the tabernacle. This is just in the courtyard. You would find the brazen altar. And this brazen altar had four hooks. And they would hang the sacrifice upon this hook. It would be bound and it would be hung upon this hook. As the sacrifice was offered, the blood would pour out onto the altar. Because you see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So even back in the days of the tabernacle, and the days of the brazen altar, and we know according to Hebrews, that not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his precious blood. But the blood had to be shed. And it gave an example at that time. And we look here, and the reason I want you to see this, it says, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar, that the blood would be shed. Now, maybe this doesn't make much sense to you until we get to Hosea 11:4. Hosea 11:4. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws and lay the meat unto them. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. Let's look back at Psalms 118. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords. Jesus was bound for us with bands of love. That's what he came to do, to die on that cross, to save us, to redeem us. The cords and the bands. But it was bands of love. So exciting to see the Lord Jesus. So exciting to know, I lay down my life that I might take it again. Verse 17, John 10:17. And again, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It was done in love. God the Father loved us so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus was willing. He surrendered to His Father's will completely, followed His Father's will, and gave His life lovingly as He hung upon the cross, as the sacrifice hangs upon the brazen altar as a picture of what Jesus was coming to do as that blood was spilled out. He did it with love. This picture here, as He spoke these words, there was division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings in verse 19. Many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye Him? Others said, These are not the words of Him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication. There was a question here. There was division. You know, the cross of Christ, the cross of the Lord Jesus, always brings division. People do not want to be divided today. Everybody wants to get along and everything to be fine. But the cross always brings division. Even the Lord Jesus, when He was speaking to these people, it brought division. There was division there because He said He had the power to lay His life down. He had the power to take His life up. This is the commandment that I have received of My Father. He keeps speaking concerning His relationship to God the Father. I am His Son. I am God. They didn't like what He was saying. They never liked what He was saying. But it brought division. They were listening. That's exciting, because they were listening. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. So we have one side, that the devil, he's a devil, and he's mad. He is just mad. It's crazy. Others said, there is no way that the devil, a devil, can open the eyes of the blind. Part of them was starting to see. Some say the demons couldn't heal like Jesus. You know, Jesus cannot be just a good example. He must be God. And He must be our Savior and our Savior alone. No works attached to it. It must be, He must be our Savior. And He must be God. Division. What do you see today? Do you see Him to be someone that's just a good man, but nothing special, and maybe even just a little crazy? Many of the Jews at the time recognized it to be the same way. But there were some. There were some that looked, and some that listened a little more carefully, and they were beginning to believe. Because they could see that there was no way the devil or any human being could perform the miracle from going from this blind man to him seeing his sight. That can't be. Now, they did not acknowledge that it was God, but they did acknowledge that it could not be the devil. No way could the devil do that. No way could any man do that. So all of a sudden, they were beginning, kind of like the blind man, wasn't it? When they talked to the blind man, oh, he speaks words of God. He's got to be a prophet. He's got to be sent of God. You see, each time that blind man that was healed got closer and closer. Well, I hope that we see an opportunity for these Jews, some of them won't, because they recognize Him to be a devil, but some, maybe some, will believe, because you see, that's the problem. They refuse to believe. Where are you at today? Will you come by faith to Jesus? Will you trust in Him today? Will you be saved today? My dear friend, confess your sin. come to Jesus. What are you going to do about Jesus?